Well, hey, welcome everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on Church Online. We're so glad that you were able to join us. This is our last week in the series Invisible War. And if you've been with us the last several weeks, you know we've been talking about the incredible power of the mind. We've been talking about how most of life's battles, they're won or they're lost in the mind. We know that it's almost impossible to move in a positive direction when we're consumed with negative thoughts. When you don't change the way that you think, you can never change the way that you live. Today, I want to end our four-week message looking at the Apostle Paul's words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 9. Now, here's an amazing thing about Paul, is that Paul, at this moment in his life, he's writing from house arrest. He's awaiting possible execution, and yet he writes one of the most encouraging, joyful, faith-filled letters in the gospel or in the New Testament. And this is how he ends his letter. He says this. He says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable, right and pure, lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the peace of God will be with you." The title of today's message is What We Need Right Now. In fact, if you're by yourself, just go ahead and tell yourself, this is what I need right now. If you're with somebody else, tell them, this is what we need right now. How many of you would say that at least occasionally or maybe even regularly, you've had some anxious thoughts? I think we could all probably admit to that in this season that we're in right now. I remember growing up, we moved around quite a bit, and for one two-year stint, we lived in the beautiful city of Pomona, California, affectionately called the armpit of California. And we didn't live in the best neighborhood. In fact, every New Year's, people would be out in the neighborhood shooting their guns off in the air. I remember on one occasion, my family and I were walking through the mall, and we actually walked into an armed robbery. I was out in my front yard one time, and a car came around the corner, just wheels skidding, and it was a car full of guys, and I was convinced that they were out to get me or they were gangsters of some sort. And so in my front yard, chubby little Justin went running. I jumped, I stopped, I dropped, and I rolled. I know that's for a fire, but man, I was panicked. And I remember that season of my life, I was always on the lookout for the next bad guy. You know, as we grow up, there's always things that we can be anxious about. Maybe for you, you're anxious about sending your kids to school because you know at the public school, there's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And in our minds, we get fixated sometimes on an anxious thought. We think, well, if I send them there, then they might make bad decisions. And then maybe they won't go to college. And then maybe they'll end up living in my basement and playing video games all the time. And we call this the spiral of anxiety. We get fixated on one anxious thought, which leads to the next anxious thought, and then the next one, and all of a sudden we're spiraling, and it's not just one thought, but we're consumed with anxiety. Or for some people, they get an illness, and all of a sudden they go to WebMD, which in my opinion is one of the worst places to ever look for a symptom or what you may have, and they end up having a headache, and they look on WebMD, and they think that they've got a brain tumor. This is the spiral of anxiety, where our minds can so easily run away from us. Now let's talk a minute about worry and the mind. If you've been with us the previous weeks, you know the big idea for the series is that your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. That your life is always moving along, the trajectory is set by whatever you think about the most. That your life is always moving in that direction. And the good news is that if you're consumed and you're thinking about what the Apostle says when he says, fix your thoughts on things that are excellent and praiseworthy and lovely and admirable, all of these things, then your life is going to be moving in a great direction. The problem is that most of us tend to fixate on negative things, and we know that when we fixate on negative things, it leads us to a negative destination. Let me ask a question. Why is it that our minds so often get carried away with fear or with anxiety or with worry? Now, I'll try to answer that question. We've been talking a lot about the brain that our God has created. Let me introduce another term you may already be familiar with this, but this is a part of the brain called the amygdala. Now, the amygdala, if you ever find yourself in a dangerous situation, that's when the amygdala kicks in. It sends strong doses of adrenaline that helps your body get out of a dangerous situation. It's a very helpful part of your brain designed for survival. For example, if you've ever seen a rattlesnake, like I have, and now you have a nervous tic like I do, that's your amygdala kicking in that says, danger, be wary. In fact, when Eli was just a little boy, that's my oldest son, he was about 4 years old, and we were behind the house doing something, and he was next to me with just his sandals and shorts, and out of the corner of my eye, I see a rattlesnake that's coiled up about a foot away from him. And the amygdala kicked in, and I yanked Eli up with one arm and grabbed a 2x6 that was laying on the ground, just smashed that snake to pieces. Now, the amygdala is helpful when you're trying to get somebody or something to safety. The problem is that the amygdala is not objective, which is why the amygdala needs help from another part of the brain called the prefrontal cortex. Now, the prefrontal cortex is the logical part of the brain. That's the part of the brain that speaks up whenever the amygdala goes a little bit out of control. In fact, if I'm walking around and I hear a little rustle on the ground, my amygdala kicks in and says, you're probably surrounded by rattlesnakes. You're going to get bitten and die. But the prefrontal cortex says, no, shut up, you pansy. It's just a leaf rustling in the wind. Which is why God has given us the logical part of our brain to work with the amygdala that's pre-wired for survival. See, without the prefrontal cortex, the amygdala, it always responds to that kind of survival programming. The truth is that many of us, because of life circumstances, because of things that we've gone through, because of things that we've done or have been done to us, we are now pre-programmed to respond to triggers that take you into this kind of unhealthy zone of worry and fear and anxiety. You see something, you experience something, and all of a sudden it triggers this response that leads to fear or anxiety or worry or to unhealthy thinking. Let me just tell you really clearly what Scripture does not say. Jesus, our Savior, did not say, let your hearts be troubled. Now, what does he say? He says, let your hearts not be troubled. The angels, when they announced the birth of Jesus, they didn't say, glory to God in the highest, and stress and anxiety on earth. What did they say? They said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. The Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the church in Philippi, he doesn't say, hey, when situations get really bad, make sure you get anxious about everything. No, what's he say? It says, be anxious about nothing, Be anxious about nothing. In other words, don't freak out about your finances. Don't freak out about your future. Don't get overwhelmed with anxiety about what's going on or about a big decision that you've got to make. Paul says this, Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, he says, pray about everything. In other words, when you're financially burdened, you pray about that. When you're battling with an addiction, you pray about that. When you're fighting in a marital conflict or a challenge, you pray about that. Let me just read the text again. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. And then you will experience God's what? God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You notice, how do we find this kind of peace, this experience from God? Well, if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write this in, that we experience peace through the pathway of prayer. I'll say it again. We experience peace through the pathway of prayer. When we take everything before God in conversation, in talking with God. The problem is, though, is that so oftentimes prayer is not the first resort, it's the last resort. Maybe you've heard somebody say, or maybe you've heard yourself say this, that you go through a situation or a crisis and somebody says, well, all we can do now is pray. And can you imagine God in heaven who spoke the earth into existence, the universe into existence, saying, oh, you're down to that, are you? I mean, I guess you're really up to creep. You're screwed now, buddy. I mean, we experience peace through the pathway of prayer. See, prayer is never a last resort. Prayer is always the first line of defense. Prayer is always the first line of offense. It's always the first thing we do because it's the most powerful thing that we can do. In fact, another gospel writer or a New Testament writer in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, says this. Says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll find and we'll receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it the most. Notice it says, come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. For some of us, when we think about God and we think about our situation, we think that maybe God is far removed or he's distant or unconcerned or unavailable. But this text says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. That means the God who loves to give you good gifts, the good gifts that you don't even deserve, that this is a God that is a gift giver. He wants to meet you where you're at. It says, there we'll receive his mercy and find grace to help us when we need it the most. And you know that when you go before God, you're entering into a conversation with the King of the universe. And the Bible also calls God our Heavenly Father, that you're speaking to your Heavenly Father that loves you and cares for you and is with you. And the great news is that not only does he hear, which he does, but he acts on our behalf. And in prayer, it doesn't just move the heart of God, but it also changes us. In fact, I've heard it said like this, that not only does prayer move the heart of God, but prayer also changes the chemistry of your brain. That praying to God helps to renew your mind. In fact, Dr. Carolyn Leaf wrote a book called Switch On Your Brain. And this is a great quote. She said, Dr. Carolyn Leaf, she says this, it's been found that 12 minutes of daily focus prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it could be measured on a brain scan. See, prayer doesn't just touch the heart of God. It also changes us. Just like a toxic or a negative or a lie, those kinds of thoughts will hurt the brain. They pre-program us for unhealthy living or thinking, therefore unhealthy living. Prayer has the capacity to change the brain and to renew the mind. The Apostle Paul says this elsewhere in Romans chapter 12. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so why do we worry? Why do we so often get overwhelmed and freaked out? Why is it that we stay awake in the middle of the night consumed by something? We're anxious, we're on edge. Why are we uptight? Well, there's a lot of different reasons, but one of the reasons is that we're experiencing something called the amygdala hijack. The amygdala takes over in a situation and the amygdala just begins to shout out, you gotta panic, you gotta survive, save yourself, prepare yourself for the worst case scenario, go buy 85 rolls of toilet paper. Like it's this amygdala hijack where we're consumed with worry and anxiety. And what the Apostle Paul would say about this kind of thinking, and he would say this from a theological position, is he would say that your mind is being dominated by sinful thinking. Now, what's a sin? A sin is anything that's outside of the will of God. And I want to tell you today that worry is outside of the will of God. That God does not want you to worry because worry is not good for you. Worry doesn't contribute anything to the situation. Now, what is worry? Well, you could define worry like this. That worry is the sin of distrusting the promises and the power of God. It's when we worry, we're essentially saying, God, thank you for your advice, but I really believe that the best thing that I can do for this situation is to be anxious. The best thing that I can do in this scenario is to consume myself with worry. God, I've got this under control. God, I don't really trust you. That is the amygdala hijack. But the truth is that we've got a choice. We can let ourselves be carried away by anxious thoughts, worried thoughts, sinful thoughts. That's a choice. Or we can choose to let the logical part of our brain take over and choose to believe what God has said, the truth of what he's spoken, the promises that he's given us. This is what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 6. He says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, what do? They think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, what do? They think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And that's what we need right now. That's why we take every thought captive. We're not going to be held in a prison of lies or anxiety or worry or unbelief, but we're going to allow the truth of God's word to transform our mind in every season, in every circumstance, in every situation that we face. See, one way of thinking will lead to death. Remember, the thoughts that we think lead to the destination that we're at. And one way of thinking will lead to death. And maybe not literally, but it will lead to a type of death to the blessings that God has for you. But the other way of thinking leads to life and to peace. You have a choice. And so how do we choose? Well, very simply, but I believe very powerfully, anything that gives you anxiety, and maybe you're just thinking of some things right now, some things that are on your heart or weighing on your mind, some things that are giving you anxiety, concern for worry, anything that gives you anxiety, you constantly give those things to God. You can go ahead and tell your amygdala to take the day off in that situation, and you give your anxiety to God. And so you get a bill, and your amygdala automatically kicks in and says, hey, what are you going to do about this? Maybe you're going to have to put it on the credit card. How are you going to pay for it? You're going to end up getting your car taken away. Maybe you're going to get a foreclosure on your house or whatever it is. And your amygdala kicks in. You say, you know what? I'm going to give my amygdala a day off. And you just constantly give your concerns and your worries to God. Maybe you look at your calendar and you just start to feel overwhelmed. You just give that to God. Or you get an unexpected call from the doctor, or you're facing a conflict of some sort. You just constantly give it to God, but you've got a choice. You've got a choice. Now, what I'm not saying in all of this is that, you know, just give it all to God and just deny it and pretend like you don't even really have any problems. Just give it to God. I'll tell you, if you tried that, go ahead and do that when the next bill comes due and see how that works out for you. What I'm not talking about is denial. What I'm talking about is dependency, where we say, God, I know that I need you. I'll do what I can do, but God, I need you to do the heavy lifting in this situation. In other words, if you've got a health issue, you've got to eat right, and you've got to exercise, and you've got to go to good doctors. You've got to do what you can do. If you've got a big exam coming up, you've got to study. You've got to turn the video games off. You've got to study some more. You do what you can do. If you've got a financial issue, you're going to make a budget. You're going to get good advice. You're going to spend less than what you make. You're going to do what you can do. But then what? If you're taking notes, write this in. That you do what you can do, you give God what you can't do, and then you trust God no matter what. You do what you can do, give God what you can't do, and trust God no matter what. See, you can't heal that person, and you can't change that person, and you can't control everything, but you can do what you can do, trust God with the rest, and trust Him no matter what. I want you to imagine this, just where you're at. The kind of peace that Paul talks about, he says it's the kind of peace that even in the most difficult of situations, you're going to have this overflooding, overwhelming sense of peace that when people look at you and the situation, they're going to say, it doesn't make any sense why you have the peace that you do. Imagine having this kind of peace that just floods your heart and your mind and your soul, where you look at a situation and say, you know, I know God is going to take care of this, that there is such a calm and a peace in your soul. I want you to imagine experiencing that. What I want you to know right now is that it's very possible right now for you to experience that. Not only is it possible, but it's God's design for you to experience that in every day, in every situation, in every season. It's a choice of where you want to let your mind go. See, if your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, ask yourself right now, do you like where your thoughts are taking you? If your thoughts are constantly, life is hard, it's never going to get better, I can't keep going on like this, nobody understands, nobody cares, I'm by myself, how long can I keep? If your thoughts are consumed like that, you're not going to end up in a good place. You have a choice. But if you say, you know what, I'm going to take these thoughts captive. I'm going to take these thoughts and these lies that are keeping me from the life that God is calling me to live. I'm going to take them captive and I'm going to control what I think. I'm going to control what I think so that I can control the destination of where I end up being led to. And so what do? We identify the lie that we're being consumed with. We identify the lie that we're believing, the negative thought pattern that we've allowed to dominate our thinking. And then we're going to identify the truth that sets us free, that Jesus has already purchased the freedom for you. You identify the truth that will set you free. Then what are we going to do? We're going to write it down, the truth. We're going to write it. We're going to think it. We're going to confess it until we believe it. We're talking about meditating, mentally chewing on God's word. We're going to write it. We're going to think it. We're going to confess it, declare it out loud, and we're going to believe it. And then what we're going to do? We're not going to allow ourselves to become trapped in a prison of lies about ourselves or about our season or about our situation, but we're choosing the freedom that comes from God's word. And then when we face a difficult situation, which we will, we're going to remember, you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you frame it. And so we're not going to interpret God through the lens of our circumstance, but we're going to interpret our circumstance through the lens of the goodness of God. And finally, anytime we feel like anxiety is creeping in and beginning to dominate our thought process, we're going to take everything to God in prayer. You know, the truth is that there will always be an invisible war. But what we need to realize is that Jesus has already won the war. You claim it. You claim the truth that God has for you. You claim it. You declare it. You speak it. You meditate on the truth. You claim the truth and you experience the freedom and the peace that only Jesus can bring. And my prayer for you is that you would experience the profound freedom and the peace that Jesus wants for you. God bless you all.